Well, as I mentioned at the beginning, I finished about a 25-week sermon series on the Gospel of Mark last Sunday. And what I like to do at the end of sermon series like that is to, the next week, give an opportunity for testimonies, which in other words means I'm going to talk for about 3 to 5 minutes, and then I'm going to open it up for you to come forward. I encourage you, if there's anything from this past series that you learned, anything that challenged you, anything that encouraged you, anything that would encourage others, I would love for you to come up and share that. If it's you know, tangentially related to the series, but it's something God is doing that you want to share, that's okay as well. I know there was a women's event on Friday that a lot of you went to. There was a men's breakfast. There's other things that have been going on that God has been doing in your life. And so if there's something that you can come up and encourage the body, that'd be great. I want to just remind you to please keep it brief. The hope is to hear from a number of people. And so I'll be sitting in the front row and giving you the, cut it short, you know. So if you're going on and on, I might ask you to, you know, to wrap it up. And obviously if it's going off tangentially somewhere where it shouldn't be, I'll try to draw people back as well. So encourage you again to share. I just want to do a brief recap. I had called this sermon series Savior and Lord. The reason for that was to try to, as we went through the different accounts and verses and chapters of Mark, to look at what does this reveal to us about knowing Jesus as Savior and knowing Jesus as Lord. And it's important to keep both of those two things together, because if you overemphasize the Savior part but forget about the Lord part, what that means is that you believe that Jesus is the one who died for your sins, and it becomes this get out of hell free card, so to speak, where then I just go and live however I want, because you forget that Jesus is also Lord. And if you emphasize Jesus as Lord but forget the Savior part, then it becomes, you know, this works-based thing where you're trying as hard as you can to follow and walk like Jesus, and probably experiencing either a lot of pride because you think you're doing it well, or a lot of guilt because you realize you're just not measuring up, and you forget that he is a Savior who died for you and for your sins, because you can never measure up, because you always fall short, because you need someone who could have lived that perfect life for you and died a death on the cross in your place. And so as we went through this, I wanted you to see both of those, that Jesus is our Savior, the one who died for our sins, to pay the penalty for all the wrongs that we've committed so that we could be restored to a right relationship with God, to have the promise of eternal life. But he's also our Lord, that he also calls us to follow him, to take up our cross and follow him, to be willing to love our neighbor as ourselves, to love God with our whole heart, soul, strength, and mind, so we never rest, even though our salvation is not dependent upon our performance. We still, out of our salvation, because we've been loved, because we've been forgiven and saved, now our desire is to follow him and to serve him with all we are. So that's what it means to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. So we're going to probably have about, you know, 25, 30 minutes for testimony time, assuming that people have something to share. And so I am going to sit down, and then there'll be an awkward silence. And then someone will be the first one brave enough to come up and share. And then, God willing, if there's anything that's on your heart, I know many of you are like, I don't like to speak in public. I don't like to get up front. You're among friends. People will smile and be grateful for what you share. So I'm going to sit down, and after the awkward silence, one of you will get up.
This was the first complete series that I got to hear live, and I was very blessed. And the thing that God really impressed upon me was the balance between Savior and Lord, the balance between learning about the Word of God but also applying it. That if you are just a hearer of the Word but not a doer, you're out of luck. And just I heard a lot of stuff about balance, about that I need the grace of God, but I need to allow the grace of God to be employed in my life so that I can actually live a life of righteousness before Christ by his grace, in his mercy when I fail, and so I was really blessed by that.
morning, everybody. The last time I got up to the podium was 5 years ago when I told a story of when I was in the hospital with a heart condition. I was diagnosed in 1996 or 1997 with coronary artery disease. And I had a triple bypass in 97 and was having stents every year, once, twice a year. I was in St. Francis, and I have a total of 18 stents, 1-8. Two of my coronary arteries are completely blocked, so four are working. I am speaking to you today because 5 years ago, when I was in St. Francis for another angiogram, cardiac cath, before I went down there to the third floor, the 700 Club came on TV, and the son of Pat Robertson said, if you want to be healed, you know, pray you're healed. And I claimed a healing. And I went down, and they found that everything in me was really clear, better than the time he'd looked before. Since then, which was in 2013, I have not been back to the hospital. I have not had any more stents. My God healed me. I don't have angina. I'm able to do most things. But you have to believe and pray. God answers prayer. He will never let you down. He's never let me down. And for 5 years, I have not had a stent, no angina. I asked him 12 years ago to curl my hair. That's what he did. And people keep thinking that I do something to it. It's God. And what you do, you when you pray to God, you always ask him in Jesus' name. Jesus said, ask anything of my Father in my name, and it will be given to you. And our God will answer. We had a miracle right here in our church. We had Andy Hood, who was sick, and he needed prayer, and he was quite sick. And a group of us prayed and prayed, and Andy was healed and is back to work. And all I can say to you, don't give up on God. Keep praying. Pray fervently, diligently, because he won't give up on you. And I always ended with my little poem, when the trials of this world make you weary and your troubles are too great to bear, there's a wonderful solace and comfort in the silent communion of prayer. From the magic of prayer, there comes power that will minimize all of your care. So gather new hope, lift up your hope with the troubles that once brought despair. So lift up your eyes to the heavens There's a loving and kind Father there who offers release, comfort and peace in the silent communion of prayer. Amen.
Hearing Irene, reminds of me. They bring me to every doctor, and I say to God, "Okay, God, please heal me here, because you know I don't want to go. I want to go with you, but I don't want to stay here and be sick." So they heal me. So we go to another place for something else, and it's been like this now, right along. Every time they bring me to the hospital, one of them has got an emergency. I go there. There's nothing. Now the last thing they had is my heart, so I have to go for my heart next week. So I'm praying to God that He makes it nothing, because I know He can do that. So I just heard Irene, so I've been praying to her, and I prayed through the Bible. You know, He's right in there. He could talk to you in the Bible. That's the best thing in the world, because sometimes I get down and He talks to me, and I come right up. So far He's been kept me going. I'm still there. I might reach my 100. I don't know. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Jesse. Hi. And Irene, your thing about answered prayer made me want to come up and talk about how God answered our prayer, because He doesn't always answer it the way we want it or in our timing. So my wife and I embarked on a journey to foster and adopt a couple years ago, and we were praying for a little girl, and God gave us a little girl and a baby. And the other thing we were praying for was that we didn't want a baby. But, and I think I've shared some of this before, the state called, I think Ezekiel was born on a Wednesday. They called on a Thursday and said, "Can you take a baby today? It's not safe for him to go home." And we said, "No, we have nothing." And we called some friends who had toddlers, and within 12 hours we had a crib, car seat, diapers, clothes, everything, and which the social worker is very happy about, because they gladly brought the baby up the next day. And every step along the way, there's been very difficult times for us. Brielle has a rough past, and there is a lot of things that we still have to work through with her. And so this Lord and Savior, kind of the balance that you were talking about, Tim, is sometimes we are fearful and overwhelmed, but we are reminded as both Lord and Savior that by His saving grace, we don't have to worry about what we do here and whether my lawn has weeds in it or a performance review I get at work or things like that, and that we can focus on trying to help these kids that need help. And I forget the other thing I was going to say, but anyway, so God answered our prayer, not in the way that we wanted, but in a way that He has provided for us that with His help we're able to handle. So I encourage you all to trust Him, trust in His provision in your lives, and if He calls you to take something that you think is a risk or that you're scared of, to trust in Him as Lord and Savior, and He'll be there with you.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Michelle, and I'm fairly new here. I just want to say, first of all, I want to thank God. Originally, I had planned on not being here today. I was supposed to be in New Jersey, but as you can see, I'm here. So I thank God for being here today, and I'm looking forward to the picnic. This will be my first picnic with this church, and I'm excited. One of the things that I wanted to bring up and that I love is I love the way the scriptures are listed every Sunday, so that if we want to go back over the scriptures, we can. We can research it throughout the week. I love listening to the word. I'm not so much big on reading. I do read, but I like to listen to the audio, and I take it literal. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, so I really do enjoy it. I'm so excited, and I just thank God. Last week, I went through a time where I lost mobility in my leg, in my hip, and I wasn't able to move. And it was a very painful experience. And I went through a lot of different things in my body this year and even last year. But it makes me be so grateful and thankful to God for simple things. Sometimes we forget about the simple things, like even to move around or I just been through so many things. And as I go through things, it makes me appreciate God more for all my senses, to be able to do anything. And when I meet people, it makes me have compassion. And it makes me think about even like the teaching when Pastor Eric was talking about Jesus and the compassion that he showed others. When he encountered people and the compassion that he had for him, he was 100% man and yet 100% God. And he took all that abuse for us. I can't even imagine having a nail stuck through my hand. I scream. Like, if I go to the doctor and they're talking about giving me shots or taking blood, I, like, freak out. So I can't even imagine a nail being stuck in my hand. I can't even imagine thorns being put on my head. I can't even imagine being spat upon. The same people that you love, the same people that you healed, turn around and say, crucify you. I can't even imagine, like, the hurt. You know what I mean? When I think about that, it makes me appreciate God that much more, because sometimes, you know, in our own, and I can only speak for myself, you know, sometimes I'm thinking about, oh, what I need to do, what I got to do, you know, it's all about me and this and that. But God is bringing me to another place where he said, if we put him first in his kingdom and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added. And so many times, you know, I'm praying for my own personal wants and my own personal needs. And he's taking me to a place where he's saying, Michelle, you know what? Go deeper. You know, there's other things, you know, there's other things that I want you to pray about. Don't worry about those things that you need. I got you. I got you. You focus on what I want you to focus on. So I don't know why I'm saying all of that, but I just want to say that I just give God glory. It's always a pleasure to be in the house of the Lord with God's people. It's always a pleasure to just enjoy the Lord. And as you can see, I'm not shy by any means, and I just give God glory. So that's my testimony. I thank God that I'm up, I'm about, I'm moving, I'm breathing. Because even last year, I went through an episode where I had chronic bronchitis and asthma at the same time, and I had never been so sick in my life. And it was like for 2 months, I could barely breathe. And I said, God, this is a temporary situation, but there are people in this situation every day that this is their permanent situation and they can't get out of it. And it just makes me appreciate the very breath that he gives me every day. You know, that, like, I don't even think about it. I just wake up and, you know, I'm assuming that I'm going to do whatever, but just breathing Something that simple. So that is my testimony. I give God glory. I'm looking forward to enjoying a picnic. And if I haven't met you yet, hello on this side. Because I don't usually venture on this side, but hello over on that side. And everybody have a wonderful morning.
Hi, my name's Pam. I don't have a testimony for myself, but I have a testimony for some dear friends of ours. And listening to Jesse go out on faith reminded me to come up and talk about it. Dear friends of ours, when we were living in Indianapolis 6 years ago, Rich and Sherry Smith, they gave up careers and they went to Guatemala. And they've been there for about 9 months. And so they are helping with the relief efforts from the volcano that exploded there, and we're following their story. They've just done a wonderful thing. They sold their home. They sold many things that they owned, and they went to Guatemala with God's call. So we have direct friends that are working with a local church there, helping those in need in Guatemala. And if anyone wants to give towards the effort, I have an address that we can do that for. But mostly they're asking for prayer, because there's so many people who are displaced and they can't even help the people in Guatemala because there's more eruptions. So there's great need there.
Good morning, everybody. I think everybody knows me by now. My name is Sifoma. I'm just going to refer to two areas of the Gospel of Mark. When we were discussing it, Pastor Eric was discussing it in the sermons, that really, you know, reminded me of certain things. The first was the where the Lord sent his disciples to a total stranger, I assume, to say, the Lord has need of your transportation, your donkey and the colt. And he said, yeah, you can have them. And I'm wondering, did the Lord speak to him previously about it? Or he just, you know, because I'm thinking, I don't know, many of you have very beautiful cars there. And I can just imagine somebody walking up to you and saying, the Lord has need of your beautiful SUV. Or I wonder what we would do, you know. I know it sounds funny, but I've been thinking on it, and I'm thinking, really? I don't know. My son gave me his brand new Toyota Camry. I don't know if somebody walks up to me and says, the Lord has need of your car, that I would say, here's the key, you can have it. I don't know, but I think it's something that, you know, gives me a lot of food for thought. And I thought I should, you know, I would just throw that out, and we can think on that. And the second thing is where the women went to, you know, the grave after the Sabbath to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were wondering how they were going to move that rock. And then they got there, and suddenly somebody looked up and said, oh, the rock is actually been moved. So it you know, struck me that many a time, you know, when I have issues, I'm growing anyway, every day I'm growing. But if I have problems, many a time I'm so focused on the problem, I never actually think of, you know, presenting it to God formally, if you know what I mean. All I'm thinking about is, oh, maybe I should ask Pastor Eric, or maybe I should ask the doctor, or maybe I should talk to this, or, you know, or Google it or something, you know. So, and I discovered that if we could, you know, anytime we encounter anything that puts fear or, you know, really becomes a problem for us, if we could really sit down, be quiet for a moment, and present it to God, we find that, it, just like the women, the problem became no problem. It will become no problem for us. I've experienced that so many times that, you know, I'm just saying, let us think about that. Instead of, you know, indulging in our fears and looking for solutions everywhere, but where we should actually look up. Somebody said the same thing just now. Look up. I think it was Jesse. Look up and, you know, and let God take control. And before we know it, what is a problem becomes no problem. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Matt, for those of you who don't know me. I just wanted to share something that really moved me from, it was last week's sermon. So Eric preached on the significance of the resurrection, and the three points were that Jesus proves that he's the Messiah, that death is not the end, and that everything you do for the Lord matters. And I think the first two, growing up in the church, I hear a lot of, you know, that we, you know, Jesus proved that he was the Messiah through the resurrection. Death is not the end. That's great. But I think oftentimes myself, and I think we as Christians often feel that we're, you know, we're saved to, I don't know, this like amorphous cloud in the sky that, you know, it doesn't have anything going on other than we're singing the same song over and over again constantly or something like that. But it was just really encouraging. The two verses that moved me. So it was 1 Corinthians 15:58. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And then Revelation 21, 22-26, when the new heaven and the new earth is described, just one part of it in there, the nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. So I think Eric's point was, you know, God created us all, you know, so different, with different passions and different interests, and then when, in that new heaven, in some way, that will be redeemed in some way. So we'll be able to, you know, serve him and, you know, praise him in just this beautiful image that we don't, you know, we don't know exactly what that'll be like, but it's not some amorphous cloud in the sky. Everything we do on this earth matters. All of our interests, all of our passions that God created in us will be used to serve him in some way. So that third point really moved me a lot. So I just wanted to share that.
Hi, I'm Stephanie. So something, the verse from Mark that kind of has been with me ever since Eric had a sermon on it, because I was in Florida, too. I'm pretty sure you had a sermon with this verse. And then I was in Florida for like 3 weeks. And when we went to a church down there, the pastor was actually preaching on the same thing. So it's Mark 9:24, father and the child who has epilepsy. So immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And this has been something that I've been praying a lot to God, and just to, you know, strengthen my faith constantly, because I feel myself sometimes growing apart from him, or just, you know, being in his word, you know, help me want to be in your word, things like that. But it also has brought up some other things I shared at the women's retreat. So sorry, ladies, if you're hearing this again. But help, I believe, the man says, and it's like, for me, I believe, I know Jesus is Lord, but I don't know maybe everything, and I have questions. And sometimes if I'm talking to people, they have questions, and I don't know how to answer them, and it doesn't mean that I, you know, don't have my faith in Jesus Christ, but it's also not my responsibility to know every single working of the Lord's mind. But he does reveal, you know, to us, so it's that prayer, like, if you have doubts, then it's also a challenge to, I'll speak for myself, it's a challenge to myself to go in and read the word and ask God, like, show me, you know, what do you mean for this person? Are they, you know, saved? Or what about the people before Jesus Christ or the people on the islands? You know, you hear that, all those things. And it's like, Lord, help me, like, wrestle with that and show me, you know, show me your heart. And he does. So even God uses doubts to help grow us in the word. And another thing that someone else brought up at the retreat was that even our doubts can be a witness to others when we are honest with other people. You know, we're not just Christians and, like, total, you know, blind faith, but we wrestle with our own doubts, and that's okay. That doesn't mean that we're totally unbelievers. So I appreciate this verse, and I also love that the Lord is so compassionate. You know, I believe, but I have unbelief, and he still heals the son. So it's a beautiful story. So thank you.
What was the lion seeking in the Wizard of Oz? Courage. So I've heard story after story today about people who stood up with courage. And one of the stories in Mark is when Jesus told the disciples to get into a boat and go across the other side, and he takes off to go pray and goes and prays. So one of the things I think is amazing about God is how he will send us and do something, and it's like he goes somewhere else. And in reality, he's probably praying for his disciples. He's probably praying for all kinds of things that are going on there. But the amazing part of that story is he eventually comes out to join them, and he's walking on the water. And remember, what happens when they see him? I mean, they are scared. They are frightened completely, you know. But what does he say to them? Take courage, because it is I. I mean, he's there. So you know, what I really want to challenge myself today, and I want to challenge all of us today, is to adopt children. When you already have a family, takes tremendous courage. And when you pray, God, we don't want a baby, and it comes, you still had the option to say no. But it took tremendous courage to be able to say that. It takes courage to have a marriage that is centered upon Christ. It takes tremendous courage to raise your children to love the Lord. It takes tremendous courage to look around this room and say, these are truly my spiritual brothers and sisters, and I want to fight for them. And so I want us to really look around us, because we can come here every Sunday and just kind of go through the motions, or we can look at each other and say, you know, every one of us have needs. We all have fears. We all have worries. We all have concerns. But until we actually spend the time to get to know one another, we can't get in each other's hearts to know what can we really pray for. How can we fight spiritually for one another? That takes tremendous courage. It takes tremendous intentional living. And I'm going to thank Pastor Eric for having the courage to stick with us. I mean, he's been sticking with the church for many, many, many years. And so I really want to thank him again. And for courage to actually believe that God will heal when you ask him to. You know, there are all these things that we got. It takes tremendous courage to go and actually live a life that's worthy, following the purposes, following the calling of God in your life, no matter what it is, takes tremendous courage. The lion didn't get his courage by walking the yellow brick road. He came it by facing the reality of life and realizing that all along he had courage. Our courage is in what we are made in the image of God. We already carry his courage. But when we get into the battles of life, we really, really need his courage. So as Jesus went to pray for the disciples, he sent them off. We got to pray for ourselves. We got to pray for one another and just be a blessing. So take courage, Jesus says, because it is I.
I want to make sure there's no one else who knows they need to get up. And you want to, Linda? Yeah, please.
Yeah. This is a postscript to what Brother just shared. My name is Linda Labue. Many of you know me. Many of you don't. I have been here in a little while. I kind of visit. I work the overnight shift, and I work every weekend, so it's tough for me to get here. What you were saying about courage, I remember my husband, when we took on the vision of going to do missionary work with our two children. They were 8 and 13 at the time. We gave away all our belongings, rented our house, and just cross-country to embark on a mission that was not ready to leave yet, but we were part of the process of getting it ready, and we were gone for 2 years, and we went to Nicaragua, El Salvador, and Guatemala as well. But one of the things that many of our friends and people who knew us with sincere hearts, not wanting to put doubts in our hearts, but we're really concerned about our safety and what we were doing with our children being so young, would say to us, are you sure this is what God is speaking into your hearts to do? Are you sure this is what you're supposed to do? And my husband's response, which I had so much respect for, his heart and devotion and trust and love for the Lord, said, doesn't it take more courage not to do what I've heard my father's voice speak to us to do? He said, if my father says to me, would you mow the lawn or go mow the lawn, doesn't it take more courage to stand and not do it than just head out there and do it, knowing that he's got everything I need when I go out there to do the job or the task at hand? And, you know, I hear what your mission is, God has called you to, and know that in obedience, God gives you the strength, he gives you the ability, he gives you the wisdom, he gives you everything you need, earthly and spiritually, to complete the task at hand. And it's the courage to actually follow through is easier than taking the courage to stand away and walk away from the task he's called you to do.
Thank you so much to everyone who shared. Every time we do this, it's always good to hear from people besides me. And it's always just a reminder that you're just seeing the tip of the iceberg for everyone here, that everyone who's gotten up, you can hear a little bit of their story. And there's so much more to that story. And I know that was one of the themes of the women's retreat on Friday, was trying to go deeper into each other's stories. And that's part of what we're doing here this morning. So as we go to a church picnic, here's my challenge to you, is to go beyond how are you? How's work? How's the family? But ask some other questions. You know, tell me more about you. Tell me more about your life. Tell me more about your spiritual journey, about your faith. Ask questions like that. Don't be afraid to learn more about the stories of each other's lives and what God has done. There's a lot of richness, a lot to be learned from each other here.